This has been a challenging week. There's been lots of stuff you've no doubt heard on the news. And it's not just limited to what happened in Florida. There's stuff going on all over our country that is challenging and difficult and bring tears and suffering. There are things in your own life that is true for as well. And that is not something that's just in this past week. That continues to be the case. We began this Sunday with a special season known as Lent. And while I think it may seem that a lot of this is directed specifically towards what we experience this week, and it does, and I think God uses it in that way, and there's no such thing as a coincidence. Linda and I have talked about this at times, and other comments with other people I've talked about. God, when we really give our worship to God, God connects pieces that are just amazing and speaks to us if we will just be willing to listen. And I believe He desires to do that today. Through the darkness, the light of Christ, the glory of God is to shine, giving hope to the hopeless, purpose to those who find no meaning in life, and genuine comfort to those who are in unbearable pain. We've now entered the part of the Christmas calendar that is dark and solemn. This period of Lent, the 40 days prior to the resurrection, is the time when we acknowledge Christ's suffering. It is the time we look directly at the cross stained with our Savior's blood. We must acknowledge the pain, the ridicule, the rebellion, and the betrayal associated with the cross. Yet it is through this very same cross that God's glory is revealed. The world needs to see and know the glory of God. Not a happy feeling that comes from giving thanks when everything is okay, but in all reality, it will be a long time before things in their life are okay. So they need something different. People need to see the glory of God that comes in the very midst of the pain and crisis. People today need to experience the glory of God that's located at the center of the cross. In the world's eyes, suffering and glory cannot coexist. Glory is personification of truth, power, hope, and love. People overwhelmed by darkness yearn for such things that most often seem to be entirely out of their reach. People overwhelmed by darkness yearn for this. This is why it's so important that we as believers stand face to face with the ugliness of the cross. We need to understand and experience the glory of God that comes through the pain and the suffering of the cross. So that we can do two things. First of all, so that we can claim God's glory in the midst of our own suffering. And second, so that we can direct people towards the glory of God, the God who wants to walk with them through their suffering as well. So, what Nelly just read in Psalm 25, the first 9 verses, this scripture begins with a prayer of the distress of David. It's a reminder that it's okay for us to come in our brokenness to God as well. And as that begins, the next verse, it says, I trust in you. So I want to pause there for a moment. We consider, when things happen, when people struggle, we want to tell them, well, if you can just trust in God, God will take care of you. And that's true. And we should be able to tell people that. But I want to suggest that trusting in God is not always an easy thing to do. And if we're going to encourage others to do that, we need to do that ourselves. So I want to ask you, when was the last time you really trusted in God? And trusted in God is, is, I mean by trusting in God, not just saying, I believe God and I think he's going to take care of everything and my life's going to be okay and I'm just going to go ahead and live it. I mean trusting God by being vulnerable. Trusting God by giving up control. It's not an easy thing to do, but if we're going to encourage others to do that, if we're going to encourage others to trust God in the midst of their pain and their suffering, we need to model it. Because it's one thing to tell somebody that, it's another thing to have lived it and them to have seen that, and then us then come to them and say, trust God. Because if they've seen you live through it and they've seen you trust God, then they know what it looks like. So the first step to connecting with God in this way is to trust God. We cannot trust God if we're not honest and open. So I want to be a little more specific about what it means to be honest with God. How are we to be honest with God? A few things I've mentioned and thought about today. The first is your fears. We don't like to admit we're afraid, but I expect that if you take time to really think about it, there's at least one or two things that everyone in this room is afraid of. Whether it's spiders or dark or losing your health or the way that you're going to die or financial insecurity or relationship issues, there's fears that we live with. And we need to be honest about these fears. God wants us to be honest and open about what we encounter every day. And God already knows it. It's not that we need to tell him because he doesn't know. We need to have that type of communication and that type of connection. So the first one is fear. The second one I would suggest are our doubts. And we all have them. There's all sorts of different things we can doubt. And as I read the scripture, the one thing that stood out here, David says, I trust you, God, but God, don't let me be put to shame. I trust you, God, but here's what I don't want you to do. Now, I don't know all of the context, all of the background of that. I haven't taken time to explore all of that at this point. But to me, one of the things that sounds like, I trust you, God, but here's what I'm feeling. And here's what I'm not sure about. We can trust God. We can give it to God. But we need to have real, honest conversations about what our struggles are. And yes, we're to have faith. And some people say we're to have blind faith, and I think when they're saying that in the right context, they mean there are things we aren't going to understand at times, and that's true. But I don't think we have, or God expects us to have blind faith and just saying, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to give you anything, and it's going to be okay, because there are things that we struggle with, and we need to be honest with God about that. We need to talk about that with God. And because you know what happens when we do that and we become aware of it, then when God speaks into our life in that way, we can recognize it. Because there's sometimes that we do need to have blind faith just because we're not going to understand, but there are times God does want us to understand. If we just listen and pay attention, he'll reveal it to us. And he'll go with us step by step and give us more assurance and security. So we need to be honest in our fears and our doubts. Thirdly, we need to be honest with our anger. There's so much anger in the world today. My guess is there's anger at your school. There's anger at your workplace. There's anger in your family. And you know, God gave us our emotions, and anger is not a sin. But we're not to sin in our anger. So we need to make sure that when that anger is there, God is still, we ask God to be in control. We're trusting God in a way that whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever our thoughts are, whatever our actions are controlled by God. We don't just give way to our anger and do whatever our anger feels like it wants to do, or worse yet, allow Satan to take that and use it as a tool against what we've said to God we want to live our life for. We need to be honest about our anger with God. We also need to be honest about our pain. If you're not hurting right now, it won't be long before you will be. That's the nature of humanity. We all experience pain and suffering at different times in different ways. And God wants us to give that to Him too, and wants us to be honest with Him about that. And sometimes we have a problem being honest. We have a problem trusting because we're not sure God's going to fix that pain. We're not sure God's going to take care of that pain in the time and the way that we want Him to. So we'll tell Him about it, but we really don't give it to Him. So that's not trusting. So then God's not able to take it and use it and bless us in the way He desires through the midst of some of those struggles, when He wants to walk through it with us every step of the way. Another thing to be honest with God about is your broken dreams. Hopefully all of us have dreams. That's a part of what I think God desires us to have. But in the midst of dreaming, there are times we desire things and they just don't happen. They don't come to pass and it hurts. And then we feel like we have to let go of that. But I'm telling you, if you're honest with God about that and what it's been like and what you missed and the pain that's there and the struggle you have, God wants to converse with you about that. God wants you to know that He cares. God wants you to know that He has a plan. And you know what? Sometimes that broken dream pales in comparison to what God really wants to give you. But if you aren't listening to Him and all you're doing is focusing on that broken dream instead of giving it to Him, He's not able to bless you in the way He desires because we're not honest. We're not trusting God. And then finally, we need to be honest about our sins. All of us have sinned. All of us sin in our lives. And sometimes we just want to hide them. And when we do that, then Satan's able to take them and use them against us. You know the sin that exists in your life. Be honest. Trust God with that sin. He already knows it's there. So we have to trust, but we also have to be open to God. And I believe this means seeing God. And I've talked about this before, but I believe we can see God every single day. And God desires to show Himself to us every single day. The first one I would think of is through Scripture. God gave us this Bible, gave us His Holy Word. It's a love letter from God. And it says so much. It has instructions. It has promises. It has reprimands. There's so much there. And we should be reading it daily. And if we do, we will see God in it. Secondly, I believe God reveals Himself through His creation. He created everything that is. And if we pay attention to it, God speaks to us through that. Thirdly, God speaks to us through His people, the body of Christ. As we're open to be in a part of the body, there's a sense of accountability. There's a sense of us knowing each other and seeing God at work in each other and encouraging each other on in the works of God in ways that we aren't going to see and know by ourselves. So God speaks to us through each other. And He will do that on a regular basis, does do that on a regular basis, if we simply are willing to see. Then there's also, we talked a couple of weeks ago, God speaks to us through our circumstances. When I had the board up here and I showed you about our linear life, and sometimes we just want to go through jumping over the speed bumps instead of paying attention to the circumstances in our lives. And those circumstances can be positive or negative, but God speaks to us over and over and over again. We aren't just living life to go through it to get to the end. Life is a journey in which God desires for us to experience Him. And it brings me to the point that I believe I really want us to make sure we get during Lent is that one of the times that we struggle to recognize God is in the midst of our suffering. And we feel like that we're hurting so much, there's so much pain there, God's got to fix something. God's got to take care of the situation before we can really trust God, before we can really connect with God. That's just not the case. There's a poem that has been around for a very long time. I'm not sure how long, but I know when I go in people's houses to visit, I've seen it over and over and over again. So you may be familiar with it, but I think it's very appropriate for our message today. It's entitled Footprints in the Sand. It says, "Last night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, the other to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. Why, when I needed you the most, why would you even leave me? The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. During your times of suffering, when you could see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. This isn't scripture, it's a poem. But I very much believe there's scripture that supports the meaning of this poem. God is with us in the midst of our suffering, and we can trust Him during that time as well. So, from this leads us to another aspect of our relationship with God, and that is learning. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 25, we read, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I'm just curious. I want you to raise your hand. How many of you are in school right now? If you're in school, raise your hand. Okay. So I've got several. Almost all the school goers on this side. I got two on that side and the others over here. That's interesting. But anyway, with you going to school, you're the expert, so I want to ask you a question. I want to know how teaching works. More importantly, how learning works. So, do you go to school, do you sit in a desk, and does the teacher just bestow their knowledge on you and the learning happens? Is that what happens? You go to school? Cody said no. It doesn't happen that way. So, no. Learning requires something else. Learning requires an investment and work on part of the student. It's not just sitting there and the teacher is doing all the work. You have to work to understand what the teacher is talking about. There's something, your mind has to grow, your mind has to begin to comprehend, and then there's probably even something like homework or test, and you have to begin to apply that and figure out how it works. So you know when God says He desires to teach us, He does, but it requires something on our part as well. God desires to teach us His ways, but we must be willing to learn. We must strive to understand life from a perspective different than the way we've known before. We must know learning is not always going to be easy, nor are we always going to get it right. Just like at school. I'm guessing there are very few in this room right now that have a perfect 100 score on every test and every homework you've ever done. You do? I call that. We don't. And we also don't in life. Another thing about learning I got from the University of Virginia, so I couldn't wait to share this. Thomas Jefferson changed the vocabulary to describe the different years of students that attended the University of Virginia. Many schools use the term freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And this tends to indicate that after your senior year, you're done, you're complete, you're ready to move on whatever's next. And while in some ways this is true, Thomas Jefferson wanted to communicate, impress upon the students at the university to realize that they were never in their last year of learning. So instead of freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior, he introduced the vocabulary of first year, second year, third year, and fourth year, which is still used there today. It's important that we realize we never arrive at the full knowledge of Christ this side of heaven. There will always be more to learn. And hand in hand with learning comes the final point I want to make, and it's about obedience. We have to be willing to demonstrate our trust in God by being honest and open. We have to be willing to exert the effort to learn through the many ways God seeks to teach us. Finally, we must be willing to follow God in obedience. I'll look specifically at verse 8. Verse 8 in chapter 25 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in His ways." You can say you trust God. You can study and have lots of head knowledge about who God is. But you're not going to be truly connected to God until you seek to live a life of obedience to Him. Now, Satan, who's very real, wants to make this impossible, wants to make this at least a challenge, and he strives to do this in every one of our lives, and there are many ways he does that. There's two lies that I want to touch on this morning that Satan, and I think at some point he does this with every one of us. The first one is, Satan wants to tell us that when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to learning and being the person we're supposed to be, it's got to be all or nothing. You have to get it 100% right, or you can't do it. No. That's just like saying you can't go to school and pass unless you get 100 on every test and every quiz and every homework you've done. The first time you get something lower than 100, you fail and you're done and you may as well quit. That's a lie from Satan. And it says, so if you just pay attention to the scripture, we realize that we are a work in progress. Verse 8 says, "Therefore he instructs sinners in their ways." He continues to instruct us. We give our lives to Him. We ask for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean we're never going to mess up again. We are. And He knows that. And He will continue to instruct us, but we go in obedience, following Him to the best of our ability at any given point in time. The second one, and this is where I think really comes in this week and when we're struggling and having a hard time, Satan tells us life is hopeless. Just look around at all the evil, the pain and suffering. God can't deliver you from this. That's Satan's lie. Christ did not escape the cross by having angels come and save Him. He could have, but He did not escape the cross. But through the journey of the cross, Christ defeated death and defeated Satan, providing you and me with the promise of eternal life and power through the cross. That's what it means to experience the glory of God through the cross. So that cross that seems to be so ugly, that cross that was resulted in the death of our Lord and Savior, at the same time proclaims the glory of God. God knows the suffering that we experience. Jesus Christ went through it. So I ask you today, as we seek to connect to God, what are the steps that God may be calling you to make? Is it to trust in a different way? Is it to be more open and honest? Is it to be willing to learn? Is God sharing things with you that for whatever reason we're being distracted by life and by whatever is in the world around us so much so that we're not paying attention to what God's trying to teach us? Or do we know that and for whatever reasons we're just not being obedient? What is God saying to you today? Whatever He is, I know He's speaking because God rarely remains silent, and if He does, it's for a purpose in His timing. God is real. God desires to have a relationship with you, and it's not a relationship when He's got time. It's an ongoing relationship that never stops. And you know what else? God likes to take things and turn them on their heads. So if there's something you're struggling with today that just seems like it's taking control, and it's God, I promise you, wants to do something with it. And I want to give you just a small example right now. We know all of what happened in Florida, and hopefully you're praying for everybody, everything involved in that situation. It was interesting. I got a phone call, an email and phone call this week. It just so happened that Blue Ridge Medical Center, right beside of us, our neighbor, is doing something this for the second year. They are honoring first responders, and they're doing so by distributing cards in the community, asking people if they'll just write a note. thanking first responders for what they do. And you know what I thought of? What we face and the struggles, the challenges, like what happened in Florida. I hope and pray that nothing like that will ever happen here in our community. But I promise you there's going to be suffering. There's going to be pain. There's going to be death. There's going to be loss. And there are a group of people in our community that they're the first ones that show up. They see the horrible first sights of that. They see it before family members do. And then some of them have to communicate it to family members. That's not an easy thing to do. And we need to be praying and remembering them. And this is an opportunity for them to know we're doing just that. So one of the things God's going to do and turn us on its head, yes, we're struggling, we're having a hard time. It seems like it's pure evil what happened on Valentine's Day in Florida. But God can take that and turn it upside down. And the feelings that we have there, instead of the anger that just gets poured out with ugly words, we can take that and we can thank some of the people who want to make a difference, not only there, but in our community. Because suffering is always going to be with us until we get to heaven. So this is just a small way, but God will do something with it and maybe remind you of other ways you can. So this will be one thing. I'll put this up here. I invite you now, though, to come however God's leading you and respond. Maybe it's to pray specifically for a situation in Florida because it's so heavy on your heart. Maybe there are other people that are struggling that are needing to trust and want to know what it's like to be more connected to God, but it's difficult and hard. Maybe you're one of those people. Whatever it is, I invite you to respond. I'm going to ask our musicians to come up. And as they do, the altar is open. I'm here and would love to pray with you if you would like that. But you don't have to. You can go directly to the altar. You don't have to come to the altar. You can pray where you are. But as I've said, we always have an altar call because there are times when God will use this as God's tool. For you to say, you know, this is serious, and it's something that I want to act upon in a way that I'm making a commitment in front of God and His people, His church. And to do that gives another degree of accountability, and it may help you to follow through. But respond as God would lead, however, whenever, whatever that may be. Let's stand together and sing, Trust and Obey, hymn number 447.